say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, my friends. It is a brisk morning here in Kingman, Arizona today at the offices of Jim Hinckley's America, within spitting distance of legendary Route 66, 36 degrees and clear. For us, that's a bit frosty because I'm a desert. I'm one of the dry roasted nuts. It gets below 80. Well, I start looking for my long underwear. But I digress. I'm sure it's a little bit cooler over in Tucumcari, where we've got Miss Connie Loveland with us this morning. Hey, Miss Connie, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Jim. How are you?
You know, I'd have to be dead a week for it to get better than this.
You were talking about it being cold, and it is. It's 31 here, so it's not too bad. I'm going to try. I've got a puppy dog in my lap this morning, and I'm going to try to do this without him barking at us this morning.
Well, let him join in. You know,
that's exactly what I was afraid of.
Well, it's not that bad over in Tucumcari. God, it's always great to talk to you because you have an infectious enthusiasm and a palpable excitement for your hometown. And it's manifesting in all the great projects you've got going there with Tucumcari Main Street.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's been a lot of fun since I started this job, learning some of the history of our community and just jumping in and finding things to do to make the community a little bit better. One of my favorite projects that we're working on right now is the hands-on Tucumcari art residency. This has been an absolute blast this year. So I was hoping we could talk about that a little bit this morning.
Well, you've definitely got my interest.
No, but I got my dog put back away. He's not going to bark at us anymore. A little too early for him. Well, we started this idea actually came about back during the pandemic. We were looking for ways to bring creative outlets for our community members back in 2020. And so we started this Hands-On Tucumcari originally as an online art program. So it was basically live Zoom classes that different community members participated in. So we had things like we had a cheese making class and a painting class, and I think there was like a Zumba class or something. I don't know. We had several, and so they were all offered. We did them for free, and we offered them online just to help people have something to do while they were stuck at home. And we started doing, it was about a little over a year and a half ago. We had a local resident ask about teaching a wine and paint class, which I think you know Emily Pretty.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So Emily had approached us. She wanted to do a wine and paint night. And so we put that together, and the response to it was just astronomical. She came in. We had a great time. She taught us how to do a neon effect when painting. So then that led to another local artist saying, hey, I would love to teach a community art class. And so we had another one. We had another paint night, and the demand just kept growing. And so we created this art residency program where we opened it up, and we took applications, and we had 12 different people apply. We ended up doing six month-long residencies, and we had local artists that we paid a stipend. We covered their material, and then we gave them use of the east side of the railroad depot, which has this really beautiful big open room to teach classes, to display their artwork. And then we promoted them. And like I said, we provided all of the supplies. The community response to this has been amazing. So we ended up with six really amazing artists. We had Linda Griggs. We had Jim Livingston, who you know. He was relocating to Tucumcari about the time that we opened up the applications. And so that was just amazing to get to have him as one of our artists. And then Laura Love, she does children's illustrate. Well, she calls them doodles, but they're amazing. She's illustrated children's books and does cards and all kinds of other fun stuff. And then Randy Jo Eidsmo, this was a fun one. She has a vintage clothing store, an online clothing store. And she taught a couple of classes on repurposing vintage fabric into stockings and Christmas ornaments. And then we had Francesca Velasquez, who's a local muralist. She's done a couple, well, I think she's up to three murals here in Tucumcari already. And so she taught some children's painting classes. And those were a lot of fun. And then our final one was Eugene Ross, who is a Navajo silversmith. And he did an introduction to silversmithing that was, I took that class and it was phenomenal. You just can't imagine the work that goes into those pieces until you've actually tried to make one yourself. Just a ton of fun. And like I said, the, you know, built community, it was something for people to do that was hands-on. They learned things that they could, you know, take with them to create another income source. Just been an amazing program. And so we're looking to continue that one in next year. And we're hoping to get another, we got a grant to do this one from the New Mexico Resiliency Alliance. And then we had a local financial institution that also partnered with us on that so that we could keep the cost low for the community members to take the classes. Yeah, just a lot of fun, a lot of creative outlet for people.
Connie, this is one thing, like I said, that I just so inspired by you, and that's why I was glad you could join us this morning. Programs that develop a sense of community and a network of cooperative partnerships, that's the very foundation for transforming a community into a destination, not just for visitors, but for people looking for a place to live, to raise a family, to open a business, yeah, to retire. That's the foundation. And you do a marvelous job there in Tucumcari with that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim. It's, like I said, it's a fun job. And one of the best parts about it has been just building that sense of community and doing things that bring people together. That really is the foundation of 90% of what we're doing. It's just making Tucumcari a place that the residents want to be. I mean, if you've driven through Tucumcari anytime in the last 40 years, you know that, you know, the decline with losing two trucking companies and the railroad, and it took a toll on Tucumcari. And so there was a time that, you know, people weren't too happy to be here, it seemed like. And so if we can do little things like hosting Halloween block parties and Christmas events, and you know, we did the summer, we called them Down at the Depot. They were a concert series with the Maker's Market and food trucks, and just those little things that you know, yeah, they're fun for the tourists, but it gives the community a place to come together.
Well, this is another thing that's really important that you're doing in Tucumcari. And yeah, Tucumcari, you know, if especially coming in from the east, your first impression might be it's a scene from an apocalyptic movie. But yeah, but this is a town, you know, the folks got beat down, let's face it. But yeah, there's a resiliency. And there's the people who live there, the people who call Tucumcari home, such as yourself, they have a passion. And you've ignited that reawakening, if you will. And I know it's a team effort. You've got David Brenner and others there, and Emily Pretty, Jim Livingston. I know it's a team effort, but a team has to have that leadership, to a cheerleader, if you will, to move these things forward. And the other thing I really like with what you're doing is, you're like hosting events down at the depot. The downtown historic heart of Tucumcari gets overlooked a lot, even though it's a Route 66 community.
Right.
And by hosting events there, you're supporting the people who are opening businesses there and encouraging others to see the opportunity.
Right. And that's really what it's about, is supporting those businesses downtown. Like, it is out of the way. It's, you know, you wouldn't think seven blocks is too far, but it does get overlooked a lot. I think, you know, having the Odeon Theater downtown does help. You know, people are looking for a movie. We've had several things open this year that have really increased the traffic. We had the coffee shop, which now one of them has relocated up to Route 66, which that's okay. And then we had a Mexican food restaurant that opened, that is open. They're open breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they're really good. And they already kind of had a following. They actually started as a food truck out. They used to park out in the old Kmart parking lot. And so they had quite a following already when they opened up. And I'm telling you that them being there has increased the traffic on Main Street tenfold. It's amazing. And the fun thing I like is I see people pulling in there, going in and eating, but then they're walking around and visiting the shops and the stores downtown. So, you know, they're not just going for lunch or dinner. They're walking around and shopping and spending a little bit of time downtown, which is important for us.
Well, now as if I needed another reason to come to Tucumcari, I've got Mexican food.
And it's authentic Mexican food. It's so good. Yeah. It's, we joke in our family, it's not Tex-Mex. It's New Mexican. Yeah.
The New Mexican food is different.
It's different.
It's really special. Yeah. I really, I'm kind of partial to New Mexico in general. You mentioned the Odeon Theater. You know, that's neat to have a theater from the 1930s that's still serving the community. And then I understand, I've been following some of your exploits on cleanup down at the old Princess Theater. That's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. So the city actually acquired that Princess Theater building about 40 years ago. And other than doing some structural integrity studies and putting a new roof on it, not a whole lot had been done. And so we have a group, we have this task force that's downtown business owners, community members. We have a member from the city commission, and then Christy that owns the Odeon Theater, that make up this task force that have really gotten excited in the last year. And so we've been pushing forward with that. The city has received some capital outlay money in the previous year. And so we've done a little bit of cleanup. We've just recently completed some asbestos and lead testing. And so there is some remediation that's going to have to occur. Hopefully that will be coming up here pretty quick. It wasn't as extensive as what we were afraid it might be, given the time frame of the building being built, but there was a little bit of asbestos and then quite a bit of lead paint that's going to have to be cleared out before we can do anything else. So that is scheduled to start in January-ish, we hope. And then the city will be going out for RFP for a design, some design work and marketing material to be done. And then with that, we're going to be looking at, the economic viability of having an entertainment theater. We don't want to be in competition, with the Odeon Theater. What I think is interesting, the history of those two theaters, they were built by the same gentleman, Art Charlie. So one was kind of the rich person's theater and one was the working man's theater. And the Working Man's Theater is still in operation. I think that's an interesting little bit of information. So Art Shirley also owned the old Canal Drive-In out on 66. So he was big into the theater. And I think it's neat that, you know, we have one of them still working, and we're working hard to bring back that other one.
The Princess, you're thinking more of a like a community theater.
Community theater, a venue.
Live arts. Yeah, live arts, things that. That's an excellent idea. Excellent idea. Drive-in theater. You know, I am surprised, especially here in the Southwest, that more, especially with the popularity of Route 66, that more communities haven't refurbished or put up a drive-in theater.
Yeah, I am too. I think the closest one here is Las Vegas, New Mexico, still has a drive-in theater that operates seasonally. But yeah, I don't think that there is any along Route 66, especially in New Mexico. That I'm aware of.
You guys have. The other thing I was impressed when we were talking there with David and yourself, we were having dinner recently. Your focus on the centennial, the Route 66 centennial is. We can't become myopic and just see that, but that is an incredible catalyst, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for development and revitalization.
It is. And not only are we looking forward to that, but 2026 is also the 100-year celebration for the building of the railroad depot. So we have a double reason to celebrate in Tucumcari that year. And we're looking at doing several projects leading up to that. Things that, you know, they need to be done anyway. But like you said, that this is kind of a catalyst for it. And it gives us a goalpost for getting it done. So we want to finish some of the work on the east side of the depot. We've also got several projects in the work for some cleanup things along Route 66 and some beautification projects. Some event ideas that are kind of coming together for the centennial. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff. It's a really unique opportunity. I can only imagine the traffic that's going to come through that year, just based off of what I see, you know, already.
Well, and you know, the fascination that people have with the Southwest linked with Route 66 already is an incredible opportunity for communities that along the highway corridor, but the centennial just magnifies that dramatically.
It does. It's so fun. Especially the international travelers that come in, hearing them talk about the change that they see from Amarillo to Tucumcari with the mesas and the wide open skies and just the difference in the colors and that change from Midwest to Southwest. I think it really hits them when you drop off that Caprock coming about halfway between Amarillo and Tucumcari, and it just opens up in front of you. It's such a beautiful area.
Yeah, you know, I Tucumcari, if you put a dot at Tucumcari and draw a 100-mile circle, you guys are sitting right square in the middle of some just outstanding drives, destinations. Your photography, your personal photography, too, highlights some of this.
Oh, thanks.
I tell you, I'm really impressed. You got to show me some of those places sometime, because that looks like something I just...
This last weekend, my sister and her husband actually live on a ranch kind of northeast of Tucumcari, just a little bit. And it's was originally part of the old Bell Ranch. And so it's really a neat place. It's real close to where the original Fort Bascom was back in the late 1800s. And so it's just fun to get out and walk around and see things, and it follows along with the Canadian River, runs right through the bottom side of the ranch. And so we were out there pretty close to that, and the different rock formations and the wildlife. It's just a beautiful area. It really is.
Well, it's another reason to make Tucumcari a destination. I always tell folks, you know, I know time is limited for the Route 66 traveler, but they got to make Tucumcari more than just an overnight stop. An overnight stop is good, but once you get wandering around there.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. That's I don't know if you know this or not, but Main Street helped with the rebranding for the city of Tucumcari a couple years ago, with the new logo and marketing stuff. And we did a really fun play on the original Tucumcari Tonight slogan. And we changed, we had it where it was written out Tucumcari Tonight, and then we marked through the T-O and above it wrote T-W-O, so Tucumcari Two Nights, saying, you know, there's so much to do here. You really do need to plan to stay two nights here in Tucumcari. It was that was a fun ad campaign.
Well, you know, one of the projects when I was doing a little research on that visitor's guide, I really liked the idea, and I think it needs to be promoted a bit, is the Mesalands Community College Dinosaur Museum. They do the summer digs.
It's a fascinating museum, isn't it?
Yeah, and they were talking about, of course, you know, we got into the COVID kind of derailed everything. Yeah. But they were talking about doing summer digs, inviting people to come along for helping dig these creatures out of the ground.
Yeah, they do. I think they do 2-week-long programs during the summer where you can come in and they take you out, and then you get to bring what you help find back in and work on it in the lab. And, you know, the lab is right there inside the museum. So if you're just passing through and you stop in at the museum, you have a chance to, you can just stand there and watch through the window, watch them processing the fossils. You know, I haven't heard this year any dates announced for 2024 for those. I sure wish they'd do like a 2-day program that was a little less time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's a little hard in the middle of the summer for me to take a week off, and I'd sure enjoy doing one of those classes.
I talk a lot about the Dinosaur Museum because Tucumcari is just so full of surprises. But that dinosaur museum has to rate near the top of my list for such a small town, kind of a remote location, and to find such a world-class museum is just absolutely almost shocking.
Yeah,
it's really, really a treasure. I follow your exploits on Facebook, personally, your photography, and then what you're doing in Tucumcari, and I get exhausted just following the exploits. I don't know how you're pulling that off.
I'm nuts, I think, sometimes. The photography for me is, that's my way to relax. Yeah. I enjoy doing that and going out and seeing new things. And I especially enjoy, you know, photographing old buildings and signs and nature. It's just, and it's different every day. There's so much here. And, you know, we have such amazing sunsets and sunrises, and the view is different every day.
Yeah. And you've got some great, passionate people. I was really sorry to hear that Larry Smith was thinking of selling the Motel Safari.
Yeah, me too. That's going to be a loss for Tucumcari. He's been such an asset here.
But the motel, boy, and there's so many opportunities. If a person is looking for a career change or want to do something a little more meaningful in life, or they want to join you in the imitating a pinata. There's so many things that can be done in Tucumcari.
Yeah, there really are. The opportunities are endless here. So many available buildings and properties and, something that we really desperately need here. And I think I remember David maybe mentioning this on a former podcast, but tradespeople, plumbers and electricians, and we have good ones here, but they're just overworked. We need more. No, but we can't keep up.
Well, you know, for people who are looking to get, this is a good time of year to promote that. Even though you get a little more snow than we do and it's a little colder, you're still better than Buffalo, New York, or Minneapolis.
That's true. And the cost of living is fantastic here.
So in California, you know, people get tired of the crush. Maybe if you've got a skill or a trade and you're looking for a change of scenery, someplace a tad bit warmer, Well, Tucum Carey might be the place. I had a fellow tell me once I was he was moving out here from Ecorse, Michigan. It was back during 2008 when the economy was kind of tanking. And I asked him if he had a job or anything lined up. And he says, no, but at least when I starve to death out here, I'll be warm.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Connie, God bless. Thank you for everything you're doing. And thanks for taking time from your Sunday morning to come beat our gums together here. And
oh, it's always a pleasure with you.
And inspire some folks to maybe look at their community a little bit different, or maybe look at their community as a place where they used to live as they head for Tucum Carey.
Well, and you know, if anybody, Jim, if there's ever anybody that wants to replicate something we're doing or would like more information about any of the programs, they're welcome to give me a call, send me an email. I am happy to share that. There is no point in reinventing the wheel. These things that we're doing, a lot of them will work in other communities. And I'm happy to share that information.
You've always been very generous with that. And, you know, here's a thought that just popped into my head. Boy, I tell you, see what I mean? You always inspire me. You know, it'd be kind of neat. You've got the conference center, the depot, and a few other things there. Maybe sometime in the next year, we should have a little conference in Tucum Carey just on that, sharing ideas from Main Street. What works? What doesn't work in these communities? We could get perhaps ask Alan Affelt up there in Las Vegas to stop by. And you got so many people in the neighborhood, Kaiser Bartuli up in Santa Fe with the National Park Service.
National Park.
And we could perhaps get Melissa Beasley and a few others involved and maybe put together a small conference there of just sit down and brainstorming.
Hey, that sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
We could pull maybe a smaller scale miles of possibility, huh?
Well, you know,
that conference is such a neat, I have not made it out there, but I'm hoping this year to attend. It just seems like it's such a great gathering of wonderful people and ideas and sharing. And
I'm surprised that more people don't attend and participate, because it's exactly what we're talking about here. And I realize part of it is distance and time. And so perhaps, you know, there's another thought for you. If perhaps a Miles of Possibility conference in the fall in Illinois and something similar in the Southwest in the spring, and compare the two. The spring conference, you share the notes from the fall conference in Illinois and vice versa, because it might make it a little easier.
Yeah, spread it out just a little bit. And let's discuss that further. I think having some sort of community engagement conference would be fun. Things to do to share ideas. And
well, perhaps next year we can make us a convoy to Illinois at the Miles of Possibility conference in Edwardsville, and along the way we could meet people Beth Wiles with Pulaski County Tourism. She's very much like you, very dynamic and a visionary on what, you know, projects. Yeah, another thought, but ideas are 10 cents a pound. Putting these things together, that's the challenge.
That's the key, right? Yeah. That's why I said I'm usually game to try anything at least once. Well, either we learn from it or it's a success, right?
Well, my pa always told me, if it doesn't kill you, well, it was a success.
There you go.
Because you learned something.
That's right. That's right.
Connie, thank you so very much. I'll give a shout out while we're talking about Tucum Carey. Of course, David Brenner at the Roadrunner Lodge is a sponsor of what we do here. And we got a new series of programs we're developing. It's on our YouTube channel, In Search of Lost Highways, a new video series I think you're going to like a lot. And we give a shout out to Connie Eccles and, of course, Louis Keene at Uranus. I don't know what to say about Louis Keene or Uranus other than you have to experience both of them to believe this. And I'm now working more with just talked to Stephen Disbrow with Root Trip USA out of England. And we're going to be working a lot closer on developing road trips for the Southwest and Route 66 in 2024. And I'll have more on that real soon. Miss Connie, thank you so very much. If anybody had any questions, I forgot to ask, but just pipe in here. Otherwise, I will bid Miss Connie a goodbye for the day, and I guess I probably won't talk to you until next year.
But just thank you so much. Tied up for the rest of the year.
So thank you so very, very much, Connie.
Well, thank you, and it's been a great year. I hope yours was as good as mine was.
Well, you sound like you've had so much happen in Tucumcari this year. Guys have really been pushing things ahead. Has it been, you've been really happy with this year?
I have been. Yeah, it's been a good year. It really has been. We've made a lot of progress this year. So,
do you have a particular highlight? Or?
Oh, gosh. I would say the art residency program. That really was a highlight this year. There were so many facets to it, and meeting some of the artists and working with the community. That one, that was probably a highlight for me.
Very good. Well, I don't know if I'll get over that way until probably spring or fall, but it's still up in the air, but we'll see what happens.
I'll look forward to it when you do.
If I can do anything for you, Connie, just give a holler.
All right. Happy New Year, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope you were as inspired as I was by Connie and her adventures there in Tucumcari. And if you need a little inspiration and you're trying to get some ideas, spend a day or two in Tucumcari. Talk to some of the business owners, some of the people, wander around downtown, see if you can find Connie at the depot, at her offices. Try out the new Mexican restaurant downtown. I think you'll find yourself pretty inspired. It's a pretty inspirational place. My friends, I guess until we do this again next year, let's see what we got coming down the pike. Next week we're going to be talking to Chris Tuttle of Arizona Podcast. Really, really fascinating fella. And he has a passion for Arizona. We'll be talking with him. And then on the 14th, we'll be talking to Casey Claypool, the Illinois Scenic Byways Director. But we're going to be talking about her business endeavors in Girard, Illinois. We're going to be talking about docks just off 66. I think you're going to like this. Casey has taken an 1880s pharmacy that is more a museum than anything. Turned it into the most delightful soda fountain and restaurant in Charming. And there again, this is a faded little town, little farming town. And this her business is sparking a renaissance in the community. That's something you got to hear. And then I'm not sure what we're going to be doing on the 21st yet, because I'm supposed to be at a road trip day fest celebration at Autobooks Aerobooks in Burbank, California, on the 20th. So we'll probably play it by ear for the 21st. And then on the 28th, we have Carrie Barrick from the Oklahoma Route 66 Association and the Oklahoma Department of Commerce, working on Route 66 projects, Route 66 Centennial projects. The folks in Oklahoma, they are selling everything on the hog, including the squeal. We were going to have Carrie a couple weeks ago, but she was ill, so we moved that to the 28th. And then in 1st of February, we've got Angie Baterik of the Route 66 Information Station. So we've got some good programs coming up for you to start off the new year. And, until we meet again, my friends, it's a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and, the boys of the road crew. If you need some road trip inspiring music, roadcrew66.com. Hey, till we meet again, my friends. Well, adios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Oh, I have one more for you here, too. We are going to be, it looks like, at Auto Books Aero Books in Burbank, California on, January 20th. Auto Books Aero Books is great. Been there since about 1953. Really, really a neat store. We're going to have Steve McCarthy there. He's known for road tripping. He's also an author. We're going to be talking about road trips, defacing books with signatures, and, I'll have some Route 66 souvenirs with me. I'll have some promotional material from along Route 66 and some Route 66 souvenirs to hand out. And I'll hope to see you there. I really, really can't say enough about Auto Books, Aero Books. I think they're going to have a lot of fun if you can join me. Well, until then, my friends, like I said, adios.